What is it all about? What is our purpose and our meaning for being here? You know, I love Easter. I always have. As a kid, I always thought it was fun. We didn't do things quite the same as most of the people that I was around. We didn't have to look for our Easter eggs. My parents just bought us a little basket, and we'd come downstairs. It'd be sitting right there on the kitchen table and with our names on it. And you know, I love the candy. I'm not going to lie. Even now, I'm like asking Julie earlier this week, like, hey, did you get any Easter candy yet? Did you get any of those Reese's eggs? Because, like, it's not going to feel like Easter without Reese's eggs. And so, like, these traditions that we have, they're good things, aren't they? You know, they make us feel close. They're things that tie us to our family. They're things that that just really give us a sense of belonging. You know, and that's one of the things I loved about the idea of starting our Easter breakfast this year. I hope that this becomes a tradition for us. I hope it's something we can continue to do, because it is so important for us to feel that closeness, to have that togetherness, and to really just be able to celebrate together when things that matter are around us. The thing about Easter for me, though, is that while it's a time of closeness and a time of family and something that I've always associated with unity, is it's also a time of goodbyes. This year, ironically, honestly, I had this idea long before Art and Pat even told us they were leaving. But it is a time when we have to look at and recognize there were some really, really sad circumstances that came about at the time of Jesus going to the cross and resurrecting. And the first goodbye, the one that breaks my heart, I think, the most, is the one that Judas says. Judas ends up saying goodbye to Jesus. Now, the Bible isn't really clear why Judas became hard-hearted. You know, I mean, it's almost like the chicken before the egg kind of situation. Was he greedy and therefore that led to a broken heart? Or did he end up somehow becoming disgruntled when things didn't seem like they were going to go the way that he wanted to, and then tried to get back at Jesus through stealing? We don't really have a clear picture of what it was that caused Judas to become selfish and self-focused. But we see in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, a very sad story. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. You know, after this story, something flipped in Judas. He reached a point where he had felt slighted. He had felt disrespected, and he had felt betrayed by Jesus. You see, the apostles, more than likely, like everybody else, expected this kingdom to be an earthly kingdom. They expected that when the Messiah rode in on the colt, that things were going to change, that the Jewish people would rise to power, and that everything would work out for them. But as Judas is looking and Jesus is teaching, these things that he's saying don't sound like power words. If you want to be the greatest, you've got to become the least. He starts talking about things in terms of selflessness, and Judas is looking and saying, you know, I kind of had a different plan. I had a plan to be wealthy. I had a plan to gain. And so Judas does the unthinkable. In Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?' So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over." See, Judas had started this path. And what's crazy about it is you see that Judas has become greedy. His greed leads to the idea of selling Jesus. And as he's going through this process, his sinfulness is becoming more and more apparent. John understood it. That's why he presented it and said that Judas wasn't saying this just to try to somehow care for the poor. His sins were becoming evident. But Judas thought he had everyone fooled. He thought he had them in the place where he wanted them. And he even convinced himself that he could fool Jesus. In Matthew 26, verses 20 through 25, it says, "When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who betrayed him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi?' And Jesus answered, 'You have said so.'" You see, Judas thought he had him fooled, and Jesus looked at him and said, "No, you said so. I know what you did. I know what your plans were." And so, discovered and filled with frustration, Judas went to prepare his final goodbye. You know, a kiss is a very special thing, isn't it? When you give someone a kiss, you don't just kiss people in general. And I know in their culture it was a little different than ours. But to greet someone with a kiss was a warm, affectionate thing. It was a way of greeting to show love. Much like you're not going to walk up to a stranger and give them a hug, right? You save hugs for special people, for the people that mean the most to you. And so Judas, in his twisted way, as he's getting into this, decides that the way that he's going to betray his master is with a sign of affection. Sadly, and too late for Judas, he would realize the mistake he had made. In Matthew 27, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I have betrayed innocent blood.' 'What is that to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Judas threw the money in the temple and left and went away and hung himself." You see, Judas understood that the blood of Jesus was on his head. He understood his responsibility, and it became too much. What a horrific way to say goodbye.
I thought this was my ticket. Fame and fortune. I thought we were going to start a revolution, and then we would crown him king, and he would start his reign on a throne in Jerusalem. But plans were moving slowly in execution. To push things forward, I made a resolution. If I betrayed this man, it could force the disciples' hands, and they would rise up and retribution. But Jesus stopped the whole thing with just a word. He told Peter to put away his sword. And then all the disciples fled. Jesus was bound and led to the high priest under heavy guard. My greed and lust for power left me empty. I threw the silver back into the temple. I betrayed innocent blood. Grief destroyed my life like a flood. In despair, I hang myself from a tree. Na 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 na, na 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 na.
And then there was Peter, the always reliable Peter, tenacious and devoted, committed unquestionably to the Lord. His heart was with him in everything that he did. And so you can imagine how stunned Peter was when Jesus came to him and said, "You too will say goodbye. You too will face this moment where I will be left alone." In Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35, then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the disciples said the same. You know, Peter meant every word of what he said. I'm convinced of it, that there was no doubt in his mind that he knew that night that even if it meant his death, he would fight to protect Jesus. And in Matthew 26, verses 51 through 56, with that, one of Jesus' companions, that was Peter, reached for his sword. He drew it out and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you not think that I cannot, do you think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled." And then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Stunned and confused, Peter followed along. Uncertain of what would happen. I don't know, maybe he was convinced that if he just kept following, that Jesus would finally decide to call on 10,000 angels, that he would somehow cause this circumstance to be changed. He wanted to be with him all the way to the very end. He wanted to ensure that no matter what happened, that Jesus knew that he was there. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. In Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are the one, or one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I do not know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. He went outside and wept bitterly. You see, for all of Peter's love and devotion, it wasn't enough. And because of his weakness, Jesus had gone to the cross. What a sad, sad way to say goodbye.
When Jesus told us he would die, I rebuked him. Even if I have to die, I'd never leave him. Jesus said, tonight you'll know that before the rooster crows, three times you'll deny you were my friend. Well, they came for him at night in the garden. So I drew my sword and started to attack them. But Jesus called my name, said to put away my blade, and he let the soldiers come and bind him. From a distance, I kept my eyes on them. But some people recognized who I am. They said by my voice they knew I had been with him too. And I cursed and vowed I did not know him. When the sound of the rooster fell upon my ears, I realized what I had done to my deepest fear. In my sorrow and despair, I ran away from there, and I cried in agony through bitter tears. Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye. Na 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 na, na na na.
Days like these always seem dark and drear. And it always seems at moments like this, the world is going to fall on us. But there was one more goodbye. A very special goodbye. See, Jesus says goodbye. You know, Jesus was such a good master. He loved his apostles so dearly that he did everything he could to prepare them for the moment that was coming. In Luke 22, verses 14 through 20, it says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks. Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. You see, Jesus knew that these disciples, that his apostles, that we would need to know that there is something important that was going on. That his body and his blood were there to bring healing. That they would serve a purpose for mankind that we couldn't comprehend. Jesus also loved Peter enough, knowing that he would deny him, that he sought to comfort him. In Luke 22, verses 31 through 32, he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." When the time came, when he had comforted his apostles, Jesus was ready. He knew what he had to do. He walked that lonely road. He carried his cross. And he bid the world goodbye. In Luke 23, verses 44 through 47, "It was now about noon, and the darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.'" Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, this is the point to leave, right? This is the goodbye. And granted, this goodbye is very, very important, because in this goodbye, the blood, the body and the blood, cleansed us as mankind. But what was most important was what came next. You see, in Luke 24, verses 1 through 6, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" Jesus said goodbye to the grave.
"I'm going to prepare a place for you to be. Then I'll come back to take you all with me. But while I am away, remember this day and help strengthen each other to believe. Though guiltless, he was beaten and sent to die. On a cruel cross, Jesus was crucified. And the sun refused to shine as God's Son gave up his life. In a borrowed tomb was his body placed to lie. But death could not hold him in the grave. He conquered death and our sins he forgave. Said goodbye to the cross, to sorrow, pain, and loss. He's alive and he calls us to be saved. Na 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 na, na 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 na. Hey, 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 goodbye. Na 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 na, na 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 na.
Looking at the world around you and saying, why do we need to look at these choices? What difference does the choice of Judas and the choice of Peter make? Why even bring them in and involve them in this? Because Peter and Judas represent how we are as human beings. You see, we all own a piece of the cross. We all are a part of the sin and the shame that was brought about. Judas let it overwhelm him. He felt that pain and that shame, and he let it lead him to his death. But Peter was different. You see, Peter waited. And when Jesus returned, we see this in John 21, verse 17. The third time he said to him, that was Jesus, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "You, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You see, Jesus saying goodbye to the grave gave all of us who would seek him the chance to say goodbye to the grave as well. Paul says it eloquently in Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The question left for us today is, to whom will you say goodbye? Will you allow your sins, your guilt, and your sorrows to weigh you down? Will you allow those things to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ and cost you your eternity? Or will you recognize your part? Will you look and see the sinfulness? Will you turn to Jesus, denying yourself, being ready to take up your cross and follow him? Are you willing to die to yourself in the waters of baptism, to be buried with him, to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and to rise to a new life? These are the questions that are left to you today. To whom will you say goodbye? Day to say goodbye to yourself. Let your self will go and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Goodbye. Na 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 na. Na 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 na.